Welcome to Insights with Ned Support with top guests and top tips.
So hi there, welcome to another episode of Insights with Ned Support live from the Ned Support stand here at Bet 2024. I'm really pleased to welcome onto the conversation today the one and only Mr. Patrick Paddy McGrath. Paddy works at TextHelp, and so expect lots of conversation around that key topic of accessibility in our conversation today. But I'll start by asking you, Paddy, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. If I'm honest, I'm doing tired and the feet are sore, but the rest of me are holding up well today, Mark. It's been a good show.
Brilliant stuff. Look, it's really important, and I've shared this quote, and I first heard it from you, and it's such an impactful and powerful quote about accessibility. Now we think and make sure it's important that when it comes to technology for teaching and learning in the classroom, we need to make sure that we have got accessibility sort of built in right at the heart of everything, because whilst it's essential for some, it can be useful for all. That's a really, it's one of those things that really both struck me and stuck with me. What does that mean for you with your work at TextHelp and how you sort of share with the schools that you work with? Because you've got responsibility for schools across Europe, Middle East, India and Asia, haven't you?
Absolutely, right? and South America at this rate as well. So lots and lots of people to take care of, Mark. And for us, I suppose that line is crucially important, because what we want to get away from in that line is make sure that when we're making an informed choice on teaching strategies, learning strategies, and in relation to how we pick our software tools, that we look at it from that exact lens. We say, right, if we're evaluating a piece of software, is that going to help every one of my students learn better? Is it going to help my staff teach better? And if it's there and it's useful for everybody, is it necessary for a subset of those who perhaps have additional learning needs or have support, or perhaps have an area of learning need that we haven't even identified yet? If we put the right type of software and tools in place and the right learning strategies in place, for example, with UDL, we make sure that we remove barriers. We make sure that every pupil has the choice to use those types of tools, whether they need them or fundamentally whether they don't. The option and the opportunity is there.
Yeah, no, brilliant stuff. Thank you, Paddy. I remember we were involved in a research call back a little while ago. Do you remember that? With Foundation for Educational Development.
I do, yes. Yeah.
And they were doing some research into sort of the future of education and the future of assessment. And a word which I'm hearing more and more of, actually, or a phrase I'm hearing more and more of, which ties in nicely to this conversation, was this idea around human flourishing.
Yeah.
And so, whilst I could talk about these sort of things for a long time, you're the guest today, I'm the host. So what is human flourishing, Paddy, and how does that sort of tie in with your thinking around sort of accessibility? And we'll talk about UDL in a moment as well, because I'm sort of leading you down that path to that sort of conversation. But human flourishing, what does it mean to you, Paddy?
Well, you know, there's a wide range of things that we can talk about when we talk about human flourishing, but to me specifically, it is focused on inclusion. And by that, I don't mean having assistive technology tools or having a specific set of individual support. It's just an approach to teaching, to learning, to life experience that everybody feels included. There are ways that we will unconsciously exclude pupils. There are ways that we will provide targeted interventions to pupils where they might feel different, they might feel stigma. But for me, in the confines of what I do, Mark, human flourishing is really making sure that everybody has equity of access, the same approaches to learning, they have access to the same tools, the same devices, ultimately just the same learning experience. And that, for me, plays a vital part in how us as a race and how the children that we teach and that we work with can really flourish going forward. I think that equity of access, that removal of barriers, again, and I hate to talk, I talk about that a lot, you know I do, Mark, but I'm just really passionate about that. But I think the only way we can encourage that piece of human flourishing is when we include absolutely everybody, regardless of any difference in learning, colour, creed, nationality, language. When we do that, we provide that equity, I think we really provide a foundation to help our pupils flourish moving forward.
No, absolutely. And it's interesting as well, I mean, we talk about equity of access, we're the largest educational technology show in the world, right? But sometimes, and this is what people often forget, it's not just about the access or equity of access to the technology.
Yeah.
It could actually be equity of access to the content on a worksheet
Yeah.
or inside a written book. You know, that sure, technology is important, but it's that broader bit. That leads me on to that UDL question.
Yeah.
Right, so it's this idea of universal design for learning. And if you're a big fan of the show, please do check out my recent conversation with Mr. Daniel Davis from the Woodland Academy Trust, where they've been really diving deep into universal design for learning in their primary schools across their trust. Hopefully that's been released around this sort of time. You haven't got to wait for it to come out before you can listen to it. Maybe we can organise that. But for you, Paddy, universal design for learning is about that opportunity where you do get equity of access to the materials, the content of the learning.
Yeah.
How's your work going with that?
It's going well. You know, maybe, Mark, you go back maybe 5-6 years ago, UDL in the education system that we're in here in the UK was maybe just an acronym. You know, it felt like it was another thing we were asking teachers to do. But I think if you look at the last number of years, and I know you interviewed the school recently that you mentioned, and we're seeing that across schools and trusts, where we're realizing that UDL is not a prescribed thing that we're saying, here's a new strategy you must do and you must measure. But what it is an effect, obviously, it's a framework. So it's a set of guidelines that allow us to move on with equitable approaches to learning. That approach is really about starting at the beginning, and actually our approach to universal design. We're seeing it in schools across the country and in schools across the globe actually really starting to embrace it. It is a one step at a time thing. Yep. But in the schools that have embraced it, you find that you go into classrooms and the one thing that's paramount in the classroom is choice. Pupils have choice of how they attack and proceed with their goals and the learning outcomes that they want to achieve. And they have choice with how they do that and what tools they use within that. Ultimately, there's still that piece, and I'll come back to the word removal of barriers. It removes barriers there, but choice and opportunity is really key. And I do see that growing. I see here, certainly at BET, we can see a rise of people attending UDL workshops. You've interviewed some people. Recent PEDDEC report, very clear that UDL should let you see a classroom where you cannot tell where there's a pupil with an individual need or not, as the case may actually be. And you did warn me of that earlier on, Mark. So, I think you're right. To come back to one of your first points is that equity of access, we shouldn't confuse it with devices. It doesn't mean that everybody has to have the same device in the same way. What it does mean is we have to have equity of access to a piece of technology and access to that content. Yeah. And you and I both know a single PDF worksheet on the surface may be super accessible to you or me. But what happens when we have dyslexia and we need it read aloud and suddenly you can't have that? You remove equity when you introduce those barriers. Yeah. So yeah, lots of things we need to be doing there, but UDL is a nice approachable template that I genuinely think everybody can start to embrace and pick the right things as we start to remove those barriers and change our approach to actual learning design to make it ultimately more inclusive.
For me, I mean, you've got it absolutely brilliant there. I wanted to add this idea about doing the right thing even when nobody's watching.
Yeah.
Right? It's that kind of thing for me. So, but you talk about the Vita templates and this sort of thing. I mean, clearly it's much broader than just a tick box exercise. But if you want to learn more, because we need to wrap up soon, unfortunately, so we can talk. And please do follow Patrick. You'll find his credentials, like TH_PatrickM on Twitter or X. You'll see that on the show notes underneath and all the rest of it, but please do connect with Paddy, because like myself and colleagues at NetSupport, if you want to talk with us about our products, great, but if you want to ask us about things around what we're experts in, we're always happy to share, because you know, education's a force for good, right? And we're on that kind of learning journey together, so please do reach out. But if you've got any sort of websites or podcasts or other resources, people who are keen, they're watching and thinking, you know what, we should be doing this.
Yeah.
Where can I learn more, Paddy?
I think, you know, you mentioned it's not just about checklists, but if you want to look at the history of UDL and where it was formed, go to cast.org, CAST.org. I'm sure there'll be show notes here and put that in. Cast.org is sort of the foundational overarching body that created most of the guidelines and templates. What you find there is lots of background, but also a lot of the checkpoints that we put in place, so you can start to reflect on a measure. So that's useful. The second thing, and this is, I know you just said, we don't sell stuff, Mark, you know, but actually at TechSelt, we really, really fundamentally believe in UDL and its pathway to inclusive practices. If you go to techselt.com, you'll find there's a big UDL button there. It's not about our products, Mark. It's not about anything that we do. What it is about is, how do I put this into practice? What are the initial steps I need to take? What should I be looking at and examining? And how? What is this actually, what does good look like in the classroom? And the last thing, because I think I have to mention it as a link, we've all been talking, Mark, you, me, and the entire industry about AI over the last year and a half. And there's a fabulous tool online, and we'll put the link there, but it's Ludia, L-U-D-I-A. And what Ludia is effectively a GPT chatbot based on Poe. Don't let that put you off. What it lets you do is literally ask your question as simple as, I'm doing a lesson on Titanic, how do I approach that from a UDL perspective? I'm doing a lesson on Titanic, what ed tech could I use that adheres to UDL principles? And it is based completely within UDL principles, and it will help guide your approach. So even if you're just starting out, you can say, this lesson I'm doing, what does that look like in the UDL word? And it'll give you all the helpful examples, just like ChatGPT does. Don't use ChatGPT, use Ludia.
Brilliant stuff. Well, listen, thank you so much for taking some time.
Thanks, Mark.
Cheers.
Always
thank
a pleasure.
You. And thank you for joining us for this episode of Insights with Net Support Live from BEC 2024. See you on the next episode. Cheers.
Bye, guys.